Reggae Uprising with your host, Danielle.
Greetings, Reggae Uprising podcast family, and welcome to another episode. Now, if you are fresh and new to Reggae Uprising podcast, it is all about connecting people of the African diaspora through wisdom, overstanding, inspirational stories, all backed by a soundtrack of sweet reggae music. So what happens is each and every Wednesday we feature a new guest that shares their journey, their heritage, their wisdom and their works alongside seven reggae selections. Now, over the past few weeks, in fact, more than few weeks, we have had our ancestral series. We have focused on honoring our ancestors, giving thanks to our ancestors, and also being worthy of our ancestors, just to name but a few of the episodes within this series. So that's what the ancestral series has all been about. So we haven't had our regular format where we've featured a new guest, because that's what we like to do sometimes in Reggae Uprising podcast. We have our special series, we have our special editions, when there's things that we'd like to focus on as Reggae Uprising podcast, and sometimes what you as the listener has also asked for us to focus on as well, which you can see throughout Reggae Uprising podcast history of over 120 plus episodes. You can see that we have the different editions, special series, and like I said, we focus on different subjects that are really either prevalent in our community, or hot topics within our community, or knowledge that you've asked for us to focus on. Yeah, and we thought here at Reggae Uprising Podcast, we wanted to honour our ancestors, which was the first ever episode. And because you guys gave us such great feedback and you wanted more and more and more, it just evolved from there. So we ended up doing quite a few episodes as part of the ancestral series. So if you haven't already checked out all of those episodes, please, please do. They're really, really powerful episodes. I also want to give thanks to all of the brothers and sisters featured in there, their works, the works of the musicians, the poets, the speakers, and all the works that went into the words, the vocals, the vibrations that were featured. Thank you so, so much to each and every brother and sister. I also want to give thanks to all of our regular listeners for always tuning in, for sharing these works, for all of your beautiful comments. Thank you so much for getting in touch and sharing the love of these works. For our new listeners, if you haven't already subscribed to Reggae Uprising Podcast, please do so wherever you are listening to Reggae Uprising Podcast. Alternatively, you can also subscribe via my website, danielle.co.uk. That's danielle.co.uk. So you can subscribe there where you can get to hear all of the latest Reggae Uprising podcast episodes. Also, you can get to hear my latest works, because as well as being the host of Reggae Uprising podcast, I am also an artist myself. So you can check out all of those conscious music, the conscious reggae music that is there, all of the music videos, like I said, all of the music that is there, all of my live shows and the previous online shows as well. Because we've got High Vibes Friday, we've got the original Reggae Uprising, where I sang covers of reggae, popular reggae tunes, maybe not so well-known reggae songs, and also reggae songs in various different languages. So if you want an extra fix of reggae music, like I said, if go to danielle.co.uk, that is danielle.co.uk. The link is also in the description of this episode. Go and check that out. If you're liking the vibes and you want to be kept up to date, subscribe there. You can also get in contact with me there via the contact page, and all of my social media is there as well. Right, I think that's enough talking from me just for now. We're going to get into our reggae music, and this week's guest's first selection is Mighty Diamonds, Need a Roof.
Everybody have a radio, even mine.
consisting of performing at Beanie Man versus Bounty Killer After Party, and her schedule for this year set to release her new album, I would like to welcome singer and lyricist Yeza. Greetings and welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Bless up yourself, Danielle.
Oh, thank you so much, sis. Right, we're going to get into the music. Before we get into you as such, we're going to get into the music. So our listeners just heard your first selection, which was the Mighty Diamonds, Need a Roof. Can you tell us why you chose that first selection?
So the first selection, I Need a Roof by Mighty Diamond, brings back a lot of memory from my childhood. I really feel like this song holds so many memories, but not only that, the song is iconic. I think it represents what reggae music is about. It's really just understanding culture and understanding the street and the roots and putting it in a way where it's so simplified but so iconic. So when he says, I need a roof over my head, you know, but he's remembering what Marcus Garvey said. It's like, yes, you want to hustle, but you're not going to do it in any which way. You're going to be, you know, somebody who holds up your dignity and your pride while you try to hustle and to get this roof over your head. So, yeah, Mighty Diamonds for me is like, I love them. And the messages also, I think, are so excellent. So that's the reason.
So with all of our guests that feature here at Reggae Uprising podcast, as this show is all about upliftment and sharing our heritage, please can you tell our listeners about your heritage?
So my heritage, I feel like first and foremost, I have to say is an African heritage, because that's where I consider myself to be originally, right? Here in Jamaica, I was born here and I was raised here. But I do identify with my African heritage, and also I do accumulate some of the things that we have retained from, you know, being here after the, you know, the colonization period. So I think my heritage is very rich. We put a lot of modern twists on things in Jamaica. For example, when we took certain elements of food, ackee, for example, and saltfish that we now have as a national dish here. It's because of the slaves who came and they actually imported the ackee as a means of survival, you know, because of the shortages that they experienced on the plantation. So just that, and that's one of my favorite foods, ackee, you know. And so just that's just to give you a sense of how amalgamated I am in terms of the different land spaces, but still being central to the African heritage in terms of food, in terms of spirituality, and in terms of just a world outview of Pan-Africanism. I'm heavily also influenced by Marcus Garvey, who was also born here. So you don't know, say, it's just, I'm a Pan-African, I am big on culture, I'm big on the roots. I think my heritage is just like the combination of what I've learned here in Jamaica and what I've also learned from my ancient ancestors in Africa.
So speaking of your more recent heritage, can you, and you know, the fact that obviously our first influences in life have to be our parents. So can you tell us more about them and their works and their influence on you in your life?
Okay, so my parents, I think that my parents has impacted me. They have impacted me in a way where I think it's very, very vast. I can't really put it together in one sentence or two, but I'll try to see if I can give you some ideas. All right, so growing up, just observing, I feel like I observed a hustler mentality from both parents. So my mom, I grew up with the understanding that my family didn't have much, but at the same time, I was never hungry. I was never hungry, and so I have to, you know, give credit to mom and dad because they decided that irrespective of situations, they would never have their children, you know, suffer from hunger. So I feel like the hustler mentality was definitely something that I saw and observed from both parents, and I kind of took that up to say that, well, irrespective of whatever circumstance, I must go for what I need and I must get what I think I deserve. So that's one of the big things I would take from observing my parents at a younger age.
So if we go into the music a little bit more, can you tell us what kind of music was played in your household as a child? What were the songs that your parents loved to hear they had on heavy rotation?
Yeah, so as it relates to the music, no, my daddy was mostly kind of the soul person. He listened to the most, the softer side of the R&B scale of things. And mom, no, she was more dancehall and also R&B, but the modern stuff. So I would hear my mom listening to Janet Jackson. I would hear her listen to Sean Paul, dancehall, and things like that, even Lady Saw. And then daddy, no, I would hear him playing Anita Baker, some of the, there was a mix, a very popular mix that was done in the dancehall space called Tiffany Disco. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but Tiffany Disco CD, where it played all of the disco songs and the soul and the R&B songs. Daddy used to always play that when I was driving to him, with him to country. So yeah, I think it's a contrast because it's like two different worlds, but I think together it's made me into what I am in terms of the music and the sound that I have now.
So you already touched on at the start about your love of Aki. So this is one of the questions we always ask at Reggae Uprising podcast about like your favorite dishes growing up. Is there a particular dish that kind of you smell that and you're like, oh, it just reminds you of home straight away? What is that signature dish that just
of course
makes you feel good?
It's ackee, ackee and breadfruit, because I always had ackee tree in my yard and I always have a breadfruit tree in my yard and they grow side by side. So it's like, when is that season? When it's ackee season or breadfruit season, you can never hungry. You pick your breadfruit and you pick your ackee, you roast your breadfruit and you cook your ackee and the land is feeding you like... The breadfruit is your starch. The ackee is your, I don't know what nutrition in ackee, but you know, it's definitely, oh yeah, it's fatty. I think it's fatty. Yes. So definitely I would say breadfruit and ackee is my go-to dish.
And in terms of say you've got like a family get together and everybody has to bring a dish. Like, do you, what's your signature dish that everybody always asks for? You know, there's that dish that everybody, like everybody has their thing that they cook the best. Like, what is your signature dish that people ask for you to bring if everyone's going to bring a dish?
Okay, so I'm not sure about that, to be honest, because I've separated my eating habits from like my family since I was early teen, because I was leaning more towards, at the time, becoming like a vegan. I'm a vegan right now, fully, but I was cutting out a lot of meats and stuff like that. So I stopped eating what my family was eating. So they wouldn't really invite me to the cookout them and stuff like that, because they know that whatever they had is not what I'm going to eat.
Okay.
So I don't really have that experience, to be honest. But I would say I'm good at cooking lentil stew. It's one of my favorites. So, I normally curry it. So the Jamaican influence is still there because it's curry. And you put it with like some white rice if you want, or you put, I usually do quinoa and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say people would ask me to bring the curry lentil stew and some rice. Actually, some of my non-vegan friends, people who eat normally, they asked me for it sometimes, even though it wasn't a cookout. But yeah, I would say that.
Okay, so you just touched on there about not eating meat and, you know, the effect on that with in terms of family. Where did that come from? What instigated you not wanting to eat meat and what was the initial reaction? You mentioned a little bit about the family cookout. What was the initial reaction, say, from your parents and closer family members?
Well, they didn't really respond in any dramatic way, to be honest. I kind of just told, because I lived with my aunt at the time. My mom, she's actually in the UK right now. My mom, she's you know, she's abroad. So I was with my aunt at the time, and I told her, I said, listen, you always cook food for me, right? I just don't want you to cook no more. Whenever you cook the meat, don't share it out for me. just don't share it out for me. I don't want any more. And, you know, Jamaicans, we don't really respond. Well, my family, they don't really respond outright. She would probably look at me to say that she heard what I said, but she now gonna say, what this and that? No, she never said that. She just was like, okay, you know? And that was it. Nobody really argued. But from time to time, what I do get is that they will come to me and they will say, they're not, oh, you're not eating the meat. Oh, you're not eating the meat for so long. I can't understand how you do it. I can't understand. You know, because them think that it's hard for them to do it. So they will say that occasionally. And I will say, well, we kind of just used to it now, so, you know. So that's the reaction for the most part. To get to the part of what instigated it, I think it's really, to me, it's just personal development for me personally. You know, it's like personal development. And to be more specific, I'm still going through a phase right now in terms of evolving, because I think every year I go through a growth spur on a personal level. And so every year I evaluate myself and I evaluate some of the things happening on a spiritual and on a physical plane. And then I make decisions to change those things if I find things that I want to change. No, I think it was the year about 2016, 17. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I have it written down, but I don't remember off the top of my head. I also went through one of these growth spurs, and I was becoming a lot more involved in spirituality and just understanding how energy works and how the universe is, you know, connecting us. And I found that through this experience, I just started to feel a disconnect with eating meat, you know. And then one of my close friends, she was going through a health problem, whereas she was, you know, having pains, very severe pains on her periods. And I was with my aunt at the time, and I said to her, "Aunt, you know, I have this friend and she's really struggling with her period cramps. She literally could just not walk. She couldn't do anything. Every month she was on the floor, and I would go to her house and see her in distress." And I was just like, no. So I started to ask people, and I said it to my aunt one evening, and she said, "You know, I have fibroids." So my aunt is telling me that she has fibroids, and her doctor recommended that the blood from some of the meats, like beef, actually made her fibroids worse. So she still ate meat, but only chicken and fish, and she would also keep them at a minimum. So me hearing that now, I was like, what? So I go back to my friend, and I say, listen, stop eat meat for 2 weeks and see how you feel. And all of her cramps stopped. And I think that was the thing that pushed me over the limit. And I said, yes, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. So on the Sunday evening, because every Sunday Jamaicans cook a big pot of rice and peas and chicken and all of these things. The Sunday evening, I said to my aunt, listen, when you cook, I don't want any, you know, I don't want any more. I'm done. And I started my transition from that time.
What more reason than to, you know, to see your friend go through that and the benefits? So.
Of course, she's my good friend now, and she's even getting married this weekend, and I'll be at the wedding. And just to see her happier, so much happier than she was before, all because she made a change in her diet, it blew my mind. It still blows my mind now. So, and then further research kind of just led me to solidifying the reason why that happened, you know, especially for us females, the blood from the meat, it affects us because we also bleed. You know what I mean? I don't want to be graphic, but it affects us. It throws our hormone and all of the other things out of balance, and it creates a lot of inflammation in our reproductive organs, because it also deals with the shedding of the egg every month. And as a result, we bleed. So when we put in foreign elements that is similar, it throws us off. You know what I mean? So that's just my analogy and understanding. I don't try to impose my way on anyone. So.
No, thank you for sharing that, sister, because that is some knowledge there that I'm sure, like, some people may know, but, like, that is really helpful to the other sisters that are listening out there. They may not know this information, so...
Yeah.
This is what this is all about, definitely. We are going to move on to your next selection, though, which is Ray Darwin, People's Choice. Can you tell us why you chose this selection?
People's Choice. People's Choice is a boom song. It's one of my favorite. Actually, every song that I've sent you is probably my top favorite songs in reggae music. People's Choice, I feel like, I don't know how to start. When Ray Darwin come out and say, "Is a message of love again. Why, 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 why?" It's like, him start off by saying this is a message of love. But then when him get into it, him actually burn some fire. And I relate to that very, very much. The reason being is because I also burn fire. But people tend to misunderstand where the fire come from. People tend to feel like the fire is hate. But the fire comes from love. So you see, when Ray Darwin start the song by saying that, I was already sold. Because of the contrast between what him start the song by saying and the message him sending at the song, where him say, you know, it's people's choice and only reggae music lift the fire and the leaders, them selling out the country, all of those things. Because it's really coming from a place of love, the kind of music that is really full of fire and blazing out some these leaders and the politicians and any person in society who's going against the goodness. It's not out of hate, it's out of love. And I think that's very important for us to understand. And then overall, sonically, the tune just slap. It just slap, as we would say. You know what I mean? So that's the reason why I selected that one.
Here we go with Ray Darwin, People's Choice.
When me was a youth, me granny whipped me and me skinny could I catch a fire. Nearby Fred Tone a playing a Lynch Park and the music just blaze it higher. Cause me couldn't leave the yacht, she said the dance got too much weed and rasta. I love your granny dear, but this a generation comfy blaze it higher. You cannot deny the people's joy. You cannot deny the people's joy. Open your eyes, people's joy, and feel the vibe. Almost every leader hide the truth, cause them prophet as a real liar. Only reggae music like a breeze, with the truth it blaze the fire. The lessons in our life come the hard way, and we slip and we still falter. But the love between we and God is solid, this is just a reminder. Cannot deny.
Right, now we're gonna go back to your childhood. Can you give us an insight into who influenced you most as a child?
All right, I would say my influence, I would have to give it back to my parents, you know, because I saw them growing up and I was around them the most. And they kind of set the standard for what I was expecting from other people. So I would have to say it was them. For the most part, they were not around for my adolescent years, but I think growing up, they also said that through the years of like 1 to 7, that's the most, you know, fruitful time for the mind. I agree, because whatever I absorbed from them at that time, it stuck with me even though they weren't around for, you know, my adolescent years. So I would say my parents impacted me the most.
Would you say there were any outside influences that kind of mentored you and spoke to you in a different kind of way in your childhood?
In all honesty, I've never really had a mentor. I think I've always kind of just found my way by observing people and observing, you know, places and things. I've never really had that one person at any point who was like, okay, let me show you this or show you that. I kind of always had to figure things out myself at all of the stages in my life that I can remember. It was always like that. So yeah, there were some people who were in and out. For example, I was doing track and field and I had my coach, but my coach, he was just track and field. You know what I mean? He never really like gave me the outlook or run down or anything like that. It was just kind of work to rule. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think if I should think deeply about it in terms of maybe like a public figure, maybe I would say Lauryn Hill had an impact. Destiny's Child had an impact. So I would see them and, you know, want to actually do some of the things that they were doing.
So you mentioned there about track and field. So what was school like for you? Did you enjoy school? Were there certain subjects that you loved, ones that you disliked? What was it like for you, that whole experience?
I would say that school, I think, is an interesting place. It's an interesting place because you have so many different energies coming from all different types and walks of life. And when all of that comes together in one, you know, on one compound, it's kind of like, it can be real chaotic, you know, if you don't have good leadership and authority there. But for the most part, my school experiences were good. I learned a lot and I made a lot of, I would say, friendships. I mean, majority of them never last. But at the time, I thought I would say that each of them taught me something that I needed to know. I started to become aware of how people interacted and the fact that some people, out of literally zero reasons, they would be malicious. And then I started to notice that also you also had the ones who were willing to support for zero reasons as well, because of energy or whatever else. And so, yeah, school taught me humanity, really, about humanity and people and their mannerisms and how to go about it. I never get in fights, but I was tempted in many cases. Yeah, so let me see if I can remember a specific experience from school. I would say graduation ceremonies, and that comes to mind, because I remember at most graduation ceremonies, they would ask the music teacher if I could participate in the singing. And I noticed that I was always shy, but it always shy to do it, and they would try to convince me to do it, and I would say, I don't want to, but then they all voted. Every time they would vote for me, even when I tried to hide, and I used that as a sign to say, okay, maybe this is something that I need to take seriously, you know? So, yeah, I can remember that.
So before you had those kind of experiences with people putting you forward to sing at different events, yeah, at school, what works did you aspire to do at school before that? Was there anything else you had in mind before you realised that singing was something that you wanted to do and get over that shyness? Was there anything before that?
Yeah, I wanted to do law. So I was very driven to like pursue this elaborate law degree and get my, what do you call it? I don't remember what you get, the bar, pass the bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was very, very enthusiastic about that because everybody was like, yeah, you can debate and you always know the stuff then when you're talking. So I passionately pursued that for a quick moment or a hot minute, as I would say. But I just started to, when I started to learn more about like the system, and when I started to learn more about, you know, some of the legal affairs, I thought to myself that I don't know if I can change this. Is this really drastic in terms of like the laws are written, you just advocate for what's there or what's not there. And I kind of just felt like it was all a sham, and I just said, oh, this is not for me anymore. So that ended there.
Was music an instantaneous pickup from law?
No, because even when I was doing these things in school in terms of the singing, I still was not serious about music. I would still run away from it. At the time, I was not ready to face it. So when I graduated from high school, I went to college, and at college I did a history degree and a minor in criminology. Then I wanted to leave and see what would happen. You know, I wanted to leave and say, okay, let me see what's going to happen now for music, or do I need to get a job first? So I was still exploring. And then I kind of just found my way in music after I actually worked a little bit and started a little business. So after all of that, then I kind of found my way into music, because I just decided that I didn't want to have any regrets.
Okay, we are going to move on to your next selection, because otherwise we're going to run out of time for these selections, which is Chronic's Safe and Sound. Can you tell us why you chose that selection?
Yes, so Chronic Safe and Sound is another one that I love. It's a modern spin to me of what Ray Darwin was saying in People's Choice. It's basically saying, listen, we need more love. We need more love in the streets. We need more love everywhere. And then he's describing all of the chaotic things in terms of crime that's happening all around the world. And not only that, but he's also looking at the strings that are being pulled that is leading or causing all of these things to happen, which we the people have our responsibility to the development and the prosperity of the society, but we cannot negate the fact that the puppet masters and the string pullers are also very much a part of what we are seeing in our current reality. So he's highlighting that in this song, and I think he puts it in a way where, you know, it's as if you put some sugar in the medicine, where I think it's, you know, a little bit easier for some of the people and to swallow. So I think it's good and it's genius. I love how he does it. Yeah.
Here we go with Chronic's Safe and Sound.
Tears are smiling, skin empty. More love flowing in the town. All community safe and sound. Love flowing in the streets. Work off the guan and food off the heat. More love flowing in the town. People tell me how my sound. God of mercy, all of a sudden everybody a gunman. State of emergency and a bag of tension. Politicians don't have no development plan. That's why every community they need a one done and one order. Everybody feel unite. Now you bring the order, Rastafari. Nothing no precious like the youth them life. That's a one thing the amount of money can buy. Chat them a chat after about them a bad man. I run up them out and go on. The guns that they gave you are tools that they use to break good communities down. I must the boom and the rum. Fly up in your head, my son. Make it forget, say you a king and star. Bleach out your skin and affect like a blood clot clown. Aha, children a laugh and a skin them teeth. More love flowing in the town. All community safe and sound. More love flowing in the street.
What would you say are your top three motivations in life?
Yeah, so I would say, it's really just, I would sum it up to say, I want to leave a lasting impact, you know? I want to leave a lasting impact, and I want to contribute my gift to the world. I feel like I am a gift, and this is without any ego at all. I feel like everyone is a gift, actually. So I feel like I'm a gift to the world. My talents, all of the faculties that I have, they are made specifically for this body, for this spirit, for this entity to bring to the world and to shed some specific light in a unique way that has not been done before. And so I think I would really sum up all of those three into just one, and it's really to just give myself to life as a gift.
So we are going to move on to your next selection, which is the Gladiators, Rich Man, Poor Man. Can you tell us why you chose this selection?
Rich Man, Poor Man. I love this song because it puts a lot of things into perspective. You know, in Gladiators, I love them, by the way. You know, I feel like in today's society, a lot of people, they look at a specific perception and then they automatically feel like that is a reality. But sometimes we're being tricked by, you know, illusions. And so when Gladiator goes into the song explaining how a rich man can, rich man, poor man, the beggar man and the thief, the rich man, you know, what the rich man does, what the poor man does and things like that, I think it's very humbling. It shows you that, listen, all of them are subjected to similar things. And then he says, everything will soon be okay as soon as the war is over. We're all subjected to similar things, irrespective of class. I think that was a powerful message.
Here we go with the Gladiators, Rich Man, Poor Man.
The rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Everyone claim that they might be cheap. The rich man buy the poor man's life. The poor man take away the beggar man's wife. Don't cry, my brothers. Don't cry, my sisters. These tears won't change the situation. It's just a form of reaction. Yeah, if you step on fire, fire burn you. You play with puppy, puppy, lick your mouth. So stand up strong, you got to know where you belong. Say the weak ones now will soon become strong. Hey, everything will soon be okay. As soon as the war is over, the children will be free to come over. Singing and dancing, ready to take over. Have some faith, have a little faith.
The first song that you ever wrote?
First song, yes. I was very young. I think I was about, I was very young, can't remember the age, but I was about the moon. It was about the moon. I was about like 6 years old or something like that, 6, 7.
You can't stop there. You've got to tell us more about it. Like, you, I feel like, no, I want to leave that alone.
So I was sitting on my porch one night and I was looking at the moon, and life was still strange to me because as a 7-year-old, it's only 7 years I've been on the earth, and a lot of things still just strange and mysterious, and I'm very curious even now. So I was just looking up in the sky and just wondering, what is the purpose of this round ball thing that I just come to see? And I noticed that every night when I go out there, it was always on the right side. So I just quite simply said, the moonshine is always on the right side. So some stuff like that. So yeah, it was lack of everything. But yeah, that was my expression at the time. I still remember the melody, you know. That's crazy.
It was your first ever song. Yeah, of course. There you go. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
And speaking of first, can you remember your first ever performance?
My first ever performance. Let's see. Yes, I think if it's not the first, it has to be one of the first. I think it was me going over to Jamnesia. Do you know Jamnesia? It's like a space in Bulbi, where I live, that they play live music. And I went over there and we were listening to some stuff, and they had like the band on stage, and they usually do like reggae on Saturday nights. And so anybody could go impromptu and just do what they want, you know. So I went there because I decided that, listen, I needed to train myself. I need to train myself to be an artist because, you know, I was ready. And so I went on the stage and did that. That was like probably in 2017 or 18.
And how did that first performance feel? How did it feel when you got up there?
It was all right because it was it's my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was cheering and stuff. So they give me a big strength in terms of that. But I was nervous. And looking back at the footage now, I sounded like garbage and I was very stiff. So come off far away. Oh,
but you obviously got a taste for performance and you wanted to get back on the stage, yeah?
Yeah, and I did love the cheer. I feed off of the energy of the crowd, so that was a blessing. But I knew when I watched back the tape that I had work to do.
Okay. So it was constructive. Yes. It was a work in progress, like, yeah?
It's always. It's like when you watch back footage from yourself, of yourself, following year, you're going to be like, well, last year, you know, I was a little bit weak. You know, it's just a continuous process.
Exactly. If you're not progressing in your works, then you're not doing your works properly. It's as simple as
Definitely.
That. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Here's some beautiful bird song in the background as well.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. They're singing for us too. Oh, that's beautiful.
I see them all line up.
Oh, wow. Wow. Speaking of more music, we are going to move on to another one of your selections, which is Desiree, Move Militant. Can you tell us why you chose this selection?
Because I can resonate with her as a female who's saying to move militant. I have that militancy about me as well. Because I feel like feminine energy, I think we're called to do wonderful and powerful things in this lifetime. I think women don't understand their power. I think women need to understand their power more because we are the creator of civilization in real truth. Because I feel like the primary socialization is our responsibility. You know what I mean? And because of that, we hold a lot of power in how we nurture and how we raise children. So she stepping out and saying move militant as a female is very powerful for me.
Here we go with Desiree, Move Militant.
Move Militant.
Find hardest and easiest to write, and for what reasons?
So, the hardest song to write? I think the hardest song to write. I haven't experienced the hard song to write, to be honest. I haven't really experienced that. Most things when I end up writing, it's like a stream.
Okay.
It's like a stream because because I've already had thought about it on the rhythm and it's just flowing. But the hardest, the easiest, I would say, is it because I'm Black was so easy because I'm a history major and I know all of these things. And I just kind of, Rory said to me, Rory Stonelove, he sent me the rhythm and he said, give us what you have, give me what you have. And I literally just poured my heart out there. You know, it was very easy. So all of the things that I talked about were things that were already on my heart to say.
And if you could have a songwriting masterclass with anyone, who would it be? Just one person, though, only one.
Only one person.
And they can be with us or not with us. Yeah.
I would probably choose, let's see. I don't know. I'm thinking I would include a whole host of people. I would have said, just in this moment right now, I would have said Anita Baker.
And can you tell us why?
Because I'm really trying to explore my sensual side. I feel like she will definitely bring that out. Because that's also a big part of femininity, and I don't think we should shy away from it. It's our power, you know? It's one of our, the sacral chakra is the womb space. When we activate that, we activate the divine feminine goddess energy. And it's not to say you'll be explicitly using it. It's to say that you know what differentiates you from an animal or a man, and you are comfortable in that. And I think she would bring that out for me in music. So I would want to write with her.
Okay. We're going to move on to another one of your selections, which is Bob Marley, Chances Are. Why did you choose this selection?
Chances Are. Okay. I chose this because most people say Bob in the big, bad, revolutionary vibes. When he sung that song, I felt like he was, you know, in his room one night and, you know, a little bit more vulnerable and thinking about, you know, love and all of the losses and the wins. And I feel like it was really raw. And I really love that. I connect with that. So I think that's the reason why I selected that one.
Here we go with Bob Marley, Chances Are. Wanting to get into the music industry, social media and people wanted to know more and more about you all the time. What advice would you have for artists in terms of their well-being in dealing with all of that?
In dealing with the constant communication and, you know, constant feedback and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say You have to protect your energy. And this is something that I practice even before I came into the music industry. Protecting your energy is vital because I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of people are suffering from mental health issues and a lot of different ailments, because they're leaving themselves too open to different energies and, you know, different just situations and experiences that does not serve their highest good. So I'd say definitely protect your energy. And what I mean by that is you cannot respond to everything and everyone. You have the right to be choosy. You have the right to assess something before you give it your energy. All of those things apply.
Also, within the music industry, there are a lot of people behind the scenes. Can you tell us more about your team and how they help you in your works?
So my team, they've helped me, and they are helping me tremendously, because I get to focus more on the creative aspect, because they're dealing with a lot of the different back-end stuff, from contracts to emails and promotional strategies and things of that nature. Mind you, I'm very, very hands-on, I must say. I'm very hands-on. I don't want to feel like I'm out in the dark and I don't know what's going on. So I'm very hands-on. But nonetheless, they are a big, big help in those areas.
So your next selection, or shall I say your final selection within, you know, the selections that aren't your own works, is Beres Hammond, No Disturb Sign. Can you tell us why you chose this selection?
So I chose Beres, No Disturb, because this is another, so I don't know if you picked up from my selections, but I'm a mixture of the militancy and also the sensual love stuff, because, you know, I think balance is key. So Beres, I think he hits the spot for me in terms of capturing that romance side of reggae. I think he definitely hits the spot. I don't think, in my opinion, he has some of my favorite love songs in reggae music. And No Disturb is like the biggest one. When him say, you know, him a go call off work and him a go make him impress no say, boy, she can't have him today. That to me is the most inspirational concept for a love song. Can you imagine a hardworking man saying, boy, you know, today, I'm going to just stay warm and just no say, come and no say you need some tenderness. I'm just going to stay warm and I'm going to go out. Like, I don't see nobody do that. I don't think nowadays, man, even think them way there. So I think them need to peep the game from Beres.
Here we go with Beres Hammond, No Disturb.
There's one thing that can't stand, it's leaving you so early in the morning. This 9-to-5 I have is surely getting to me. Na-na-na-na. For the third time this week, I think I'm gonna have to call in sick. If I leave you now, I'd be losing my mind. Na-na-na-na. I hope we never get tired.
About the evolution of your works in terms of your releases and tours, because we're going to be hearing your music from here on out.
Yeah, so the evolution of my music, I think it's been just me. It's just been, I think, very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? All right, so I think the evolution of my song moves in conjunction with my personal growth. I think that's the best expression that I could find. It's really me growing. It's really me growing and then injecting that growth in terms of my mental space, spiritual space, into the music. So I think I've come from a place of being a little bit more timid with what I'm experiencing to now feeling more comfortable to speak about it, which is also a part of the growth. you know. So I think that's it. And it's really, to sum it up, it's really a little bit of island, because that's where I am. I feel like I'm an island woman. I love the beaches. And then you also get the militancy. You also get a little sensual and sexy, because I'm also very feminine, and I embrace that side of me as well. And you get the Black power and the roots and the heritage as well. So, yeah, I think it's been that. So tours, I'm looking forward for my album to drop, and I'm looking forward to possibly doing some promotional tours as well before that, before the first single of my album. And all of that is really, really very close to happening. Can't say when as yet, but I will definitely keep you all posted. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having the music packaged and released and hitting the road with all of the songs.
So we are going to be hearing three of your own original works, the first of which is Glory featuring Sizzla. Would you like to tell us more about this song and introduce it?
Yeah, so this is Sizzla and myself, and it's an honor to say this because Sizzla is a legend, and this collaboration is such a dream come true for me. So the song is just, I feel, perfect in terms of just the energies that we had in the studio and everything. So we're going in, you know, it's coming from a place of resilience, saying that irrespective of the pandemic, we're still there, and we're still living it up, and we're still, you know, brave and resilient. So that's really what it is. I love it.
Sizzla being featured, yo. Big things happening. Hey, yes, sir. Sizzla.
We're going in. Oh, pandemic can't stop the damn winner. Mama said for one, then a darling. Get the bag, the knobs, stop the drawstring. Well, how can we have a make with great? Well, how can we have a make with great? Tell them try we on another day. Launch a rocket, we are elevate. Yeah, darling, left the fire upon the streets. It's a lock of laundry. Them lock on my company, some me a fiance. Love me when I company, some me never loneliness. Allow me. When you see me touch the road like lightning, abide me. Every dollar I feel make politely, me righteous. Not know what them say, not to surprise me, me sighted. Still I rise up in a this year crisis, watch niceness, ayy. We're going in. Pandemic can't stop the damn winner. Hold myself a wand and a darling. Get the bug, the knob, suck the drawstring. Well, how can we have a make with great? Well, how can we have a make with great? Tell them try we on another day. Launch a rocket,
yeah,
we're
making the money, check your speech, cause if you breach it and the leash, oh yeah, cause beach, you're not so sleek at the least. I'm so little, not so cheap. Now repeat and I feel, let me see. I'm in the clouds, I'm in the street. Camouflage at your feet. Can be somewhere on the beach with them girls, giving them peaches. I'll be looking at you, yet I'll be so much at your reach. In the north, in the south, I'm in the west, I'm in the east. Nothing you do can stop me. Nothing you do can stop me.
God, we're warning. Pandemic, you're something genuine. Hold myself a wonder, no darling.
Get the bomb, then I'll stop the trust.
Well, how can we have a make with great? Well, how can we have a make with great? Tell them try we on another day. Launch a rocket, we are elevate.
Look, the most make it a misdemeanor. Men a miss out when men knock it off, forget the reacher. Slam a trophy on a rocket, Venus and Serena. Knowledge of the self a key, so better get to read up. Not true, my righteous, but enough to be a hero later. Still I pull up every cup, come get your milliliter. Lock down every major city, can't restrict my visa. Still I fly go Amsterdam, go link up regulator. Still I fly go Ghana, get a piece of land for feature. Yeah, yo,
yes,
hey, yo,
sister.
Hey, yo, yeah, yo, hey, yo.
Could perform on any five shows or festivals anywhere in the world, what would they be?
Okay, so I would say places instead of festivals, because there are so many. But I would definitely love to perform in the UK. I've performed there already, actually, but I'd love to be on the massive shows in the UK. Anyone is fine by me. I don't. Anyone is fine by me, in all honesty. A dream, though, is to perform in Times Square somewhere, because I run around there as a child when I went to there when I was younger. And so to perform there, I think, would be a dream come true. I always see the performances on TV and I'm like, wow, you know. Rototom, Reggaeton Splash, you know them already, you know. But I think also I would really, really want to go to Kenya to perform. I don't know which shows, but anyone is fine. For me, it's more the place. I would love to go to Ghana to perform. I would love to perform in Brazil. Yeah, really.
So the next one of your works that we're going to hear is called Kingdom. Can you tell us more about this song and introduce it for us?
So Kingdom is also coming from a similar vibration as Glory, where I wrote this in the middle of the pandemic when a lot of, you know, tragic things were happening and being broadcasted everywhere, all over the place. So I decided that I needed to feed people's soul with some amount of positive energy. And I did that by saying, you know, don't sleep, one key to the kingdom. And really what it is just, you know, irrespective of what's happening in the world, we're still not going to shove our dreams aside, because a lot of people kind of gave up, like, them don't know what will happen tomorrow, them not going to pursue this. I kind of was just giving the life, like, yeah, we still need to pursue it. We still need to get the keys to the kingdom.
Give me a little space, nah, nah. Make a bust the place, yeah, yeah. Accelerate. No more flash pass, yeah. I like a shutter speed. Better never see it. Not sleep till a daytime. Cause a dog eat dog in a late night. I for reach far like airline. That's why me keep sharp like canine. Never stay low, I for stay fly. We no walk with fear, no stage fright. And we no pre-loose stop from the grapevine. And no preschool done with the playtime. Not sleep, one keys to the kingdom. So me lock it on like 6 pounds. Every day me rise, I forgive tongues. So I'm pre, can't pre from a distance. Hardcore like flu symptoms. So me knock it on like 6 pounds. Rise up fast till I give tongues. So I'm pre, can't pre. Then my panic on a frolic through me chopping enigmatic and a regular me clap it. Ever flow, no shot a topic. Work for mine, I rise dramatic. Black woman, you're supersonic. Now go catch me in the traffic. I'm a chopper automatic. Never drop this and I never desperate. Better know we're stuck in the inventory. Oh yeah, we don't know them story. Focus on the goal for make the history. Oh, now I sleep on keys to the kingdom. Summon a guitar like 6 pounds. Every day I'm a rise, I forgive tongues. Who I'm pre, can't pre from a distance. Hardcore like flu symptoms. Summon a guitar like 6 pounds. Rise up fast till I give tongues. Who I'm pre, can't pre when a response. You tough for reach, no. You tough for reach, no. Now stop trying one time for the real talk. One time for the real talk. But your light is up, yeah. One day we have to reach. We teach the most over on for the cheese. Out for move like the old, just a chop through the trees. Never sell out, no soul, never sign up, no deal. No blood, never spill, but when nice up the meal. East side, I'm a place, darling, know you mean. Fresh to the debt, every step ever clean. And a pure red, yeah, you have to carry Visine. But at them time that we are go shell it down. Non stop creep till we step it off. Pure blue sky till my feather done. Fully by them off, I know where we get it from, yo, yo. Now sleep on keys to the kingdom. So me knock it on like 6 pounds. Every day my rise, I forgive tongues. So I'm pre, can't pre from a distance.
If you could work with any 5 artists, who would they be and why?
All right, so I would work with... Beyonce, because I think she is a musical genius. I would work with Lauryn Hill. I think she's also a musical genius, and she has that message down pat. I would also work with, and this is just randomly, I would also work with Bob Marley, if he was alive. I would love to work with Anita Baker, as I said, mentioned before, that's three. I would also work with, let's see, Sister Nancy. And I would want to work with Chronix. Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can support your works? You know, give them the link.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Yeza, that's Y-E-Z-A Music, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the platforms. And you can stream my music also. So that's Y-E-Z-A, Yeza, Spotify, iTunes, AudioMac, all of the platforms as well. You can find me there. So, yeah, pretty much. So make sure you stream and watch on YouTube and everything. Yeza Music.
Now we have one final question. When all of your works are complete, what are the three things you feel you must have completed to accomplish your mission in this world, which will stand as your legacy?
The three things?
Three things.
Okay. So, this is a good question. I would have to make sure that I make music, first of all, that touches the people and inspires them to move towards their greatest good. That's the first thing. I know I need to use my wealth to manifest things that also help society, my immediate family and extended society, to achieve a higher collective consciousness. And the third one is to ensure that when I do die, that I've also addressed all of my internal problems, conflicts that I might have had during the time of my life period.
Okay, so the final one of your own works that we're going to hear is Everything Is Irie. Can you tell us about this song?
Well, this song was this is actually my first release, official release. And it was produced by Calibod Music. From Bobby Digital Studios. And it was me saying that, hey, I'm here. And the vibe is just really Irie. It's like happiness and the experience of, you know, being happy about life and existing. So, yeah. Everything is Irie. You know, that kind of vibe. So I loved it. It was massive in London when I was there at the time. Every time I performed it, they asked me for a pull-up.
Thank you so much for sharing your time, your journey, your wisdom, and of course, your selections and your music with all of us today. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Uprising, we say.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Please check out this week's guests' works, support them, listen to them, go to YouTube, go follow, go purchase the music. This is what Reggae Uprising is all about, is promoting these artists that are doing these great works, promoting these brothers and sisters that are doing their great works and connecting with them. So if you would also like to connect with this week's guests, please do so, whether you're an artist, whether you have an event, a festival, whether you'd like to do some collaborative works on a project with this artist, please, please do get in touch. This show is all about connecting our brothers and sisters. So please utilize the guests that are featured by combining their works and unifying. If you haven't already subscribed to Reggae Uprising Podcast, please do so now, wherever you are listening to it. Also, please, if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me via the contact page on danielle.co.uk. So that's danielle.co.uk. Alternatively, if you go to danielle.co.uk, you can find all of my social media where you can also get in touch with me there too. Please make sure you're back here next Wednesday for a fresh and new episode. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. I am going to leave you with this week's guest, High Vibrations. Her work's called Everything Is Irie. Until next Wednesday, and as always, blessed love.
Ones and ones, yeah. You know it's years up on your radio. But come for mash up every stereo. No worry about a thing because we're bills them here. From Bull Bay to above, you will link same way. We're not for worry about no earplay. So buck your speakers when you hear me. Me not fi stop at sound. The soldiers a come, cause the lyrics me a spit sweet like bubble gum. No bring no bad vibes beside me, cause everything is irate. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Yes, everything is irate. No bring no bad vibes beside me. Party, young a life, yeah, start up my day. Accurate, like a color, Louis, I'm a place. Man, nah go take no call, too tough, same way. So leave your message for my vice, man. To the sweet mother earth, we a give praise. Go back through the gates with your screw face. Now come outside with your eyebrow twist up. We no want a screw face when the music a jump. No worry about a thing because we feel them here. From Bull Bay to above, you will link same way. We not for worry about no earplay. So buck your speakers when you hear me. Me not fi stop at sound when the soldiers a come. Cause the lyrics me a spit sweet